likes it when people prove themselves to be reliable. Reliability, dependability is a great quality. And it's funny sometimes what you read about some of the seemingly insignificant things that people put on their job applications. Like, what's a great quality that you have? I like dogs. You know, I always tuck in my shirt. One of the greatest abilities, they say, is dependability, reliability. And that's something that is really important to an employer. If a person will show up when he's supposed to show up and do his job. And this is a great character trait, but it's also very true of deity. God is, and we use the term faithfulness. God is always faithful. He always keeps his word. He always shows up when he said he would, and he always does what he said he would do. And I want us to consider this subject tonight of God's faithfulness. And would you open your Bible with me to Psalm 89? We'll see a number of places in Psalm 89 where God mentions faithfulness. And what a blessing it is that God is faithful. He can be depended upon. You can trust him. When he gives his word, he's going to keep his word. When he says he'll be there, he'll be there. He's there. And we can rely on him. God is faithful. Psalm 89 verse 1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Again, verse 2 says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. And then again in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Verse 24 of Psalm 89 says, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Here is God speaking, and he talks about his own faithfulness. Verse 33 says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God is a faithful God. And this word speaks of truth and security and moral fidelity and reliability and trustworthiness and a sure foundation. What a blessing God's faithfulness is. And some people struggle in their life, but if you know the Lord, what a blessing. You never have to wonder if he'll come through for you, because he's a faithful God. Let's pray as we consider God's faithfulness tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us, and may we see you as being the God that you are, a very faithful God, a God who, in fact, the Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, cannot lie, and so every promise that you've made is going to be fulfilled. You're a God who is ever truthful, and so you're always faithful. Help us to take great confidence and great comfort in that truth even tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This has a number of different applications, and one of them is that God will provide. And maybe you'll recall the promises of Matthew chapter 6 where I don't know, the apostles apparently were a little bit concerned about where their next meal was coming from, and if they were going to have food, clothing, and shelter. And Matthew chapter 6 gives a very clear presentation by Jesus Christ that God is faithful and God will provide. In fact, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be provided, shall be added unto you. God will take care of the basic needs of life to those who put their confidence and their trust in him. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, back up a little bit to Psalm 37, verse 25. Here in Psalm 37:25, the Bible says, I have been young and now I am old. And this is the psalmist David writing, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. A little bit later on, verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. And God says that he provides for his own. And it kind of reminds me of the fact that, Years ago, I heard a knock at the door. This literally happened, and there was a child at the door who said to me, "I need a new pair of sneakers." And I said to him, "Go talk to your dad. That's his responsibility, not mine." And God, as a gracious and kind Heavenly Father, takes care of His own. He's not a neglectful or a negligent Father. And those who know and love Him will actually see the Lord provide for them. And David himself said, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread." Look at Psalm 119, Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, verse 75, the Bible teaches concerning God's faithfulness, He will provide. And we're in the introduction for a little while yet, but we'll get to the main part of the message in a few minutes. 175 of 119 says, "Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me." That's 175. I want 119, verse 75. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." And that's an important statement. Sometimes faithfulness is not necessarily what we wanted. And he says, "In faithfulness you have afflicted me." And somebody, as I've said in recent weeks, may be inclined to say, "Why is this happening to me?" And if you know the Lord, a good answer is, God must have decided you needed that. Because God gives His children what they need, and sometimes what God provides for us is not necessarily what we wanted, but it's always a good thing. And in Genesis chapter 22, we read about Abraham, whom God told to go to the mountains of Moriah and offer his own son as a burnt offering unto the Lord. And then in a little bit later in that chapter, the Bible says that God provided a substitute. God provided a ram caught by its horns in a thicket, and God would provide the sacrifice that was needed. And so He will provide. In fact, that's what that verse means. God will provide. It's another name of Jehovah that's found in the Scriptures. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Hebrews chapter 12. Here again is another reference to God giving people something that sometimes they don't and can't necessarily appreciate, but it's necessary. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." And I well remember Brother Belcourt telling the story of one of our sons who got in trouble in school and had to go to the furnace room to experience the corporal discipline that was doled out by the principal. And Brother Belcourt has long said that's the only child who ever thanked him after he'd gotten the board. Thank you. And I'm sure he wasn't saying he was thankful that he had been corrected like that. But the Bible does teach it's with purpose. And when God scourges His children, it's because He loves them. It's because He wants to benefit them. And so God provides in various different ways. In chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What is that? Where God says, "I won't leave you, I won't forsake you." The Lord responds that way. That's faithfulness. He'll always be there. And there are people who imagine that God is absent somehow. And if they don't know Him, if they cannot rightfully claim Him as their Heavenly Father, maybe He isn't anywhere to be found at that particular time of need. But for His children, He's always there. God is a faithful God, and He will come when He is needed. He will provide, and He will protect and guide. He's a faithful Heavenly Father who gives just what is needed when it's needed. Look at Matthew chapter 7, and we've read these verses recently. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, where Jesus said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Verse 8, Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" And yet, how many doubt it? We imagine that we are on our own. It's up to us to work our way through various different situations rather than having a Heavenly Father who cares for His children in faithfulness. And usually it's because things don't happen as quickly as we want them to. Keep in mind that God's view of time is different than our view of time, and typically we become stronger in character when we have to wait. Typically, we do. We become stronger in character. We become stronger in faith and in trust when we have to wait. But I don't like to wait. Join the club. None of us like to wait. I think we're impatient by our very nature. And some people I envy because they seem to be patient by their very nature. I don't know if they are, if it's just a lesson they've learned that some of the rest of us haven't learned yet or what. But sometimes we doubt God because He doesn't respond as quickly as we want Him to. But we trust Him, and the Bible tells us He's a faithful God. And so a good question is this God's problem or is it our problem? I think that if we're seeing things correctly, we would agree it's our problem. How should divine faithfulness affect our life? Well, I want us to consider the faithfulness of God tonight. First of all, the fact that He is faithful is related to His truthfulness. God is always true. He always gives an accurate answer, and what He states is always the truth. And He is faithful to maintain the truth. His faithfulness is related to His truthfulness. He can always be counted on to do the right thing at the right time. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is such a blessing and so true. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Just a few minutes ago, the choir sang a song in His presence, and part of the first verse is, I don't need to understand what Your perfect will demands, but I learn to trust You more in Your presence. I don't have to see things. I don't have to understand. I don't have to be able to define them. But if You have declared something is true, I know it's true and I can depend on that. Because God is a faithful God. He always tells the truth. And then what He represents is always truthful. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." What He says is always so, and what He does will always be in line with reality. Look at Psalm 118 with me, please. Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9 say this: "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes," even people who seem to be people of authority. It's still better to believe God than even to trust people like that. And you've been around long enough to know, most of you have been at least, that you can't necessarily believe what a politician says. You can't necessarily trust a person in a leadership position to come through and do what he says he would do. But you can always have confidence that God will do what he said he would do. He's a faithful God. He knows what's going on, and he can answer rightfully, truly, and accurately. Look at Psalm 141. Psalm 141, verse 8. Psalm 141, verse 8 says, "Keep me from the snares." I'm sorry, "but mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord." I started reading verse 9. It should be verse 8. 141, verse 8. "But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute." Don't leave me alone. I'm trusting in you. And God is always faithful. He will come through and he will keep his promises, and you can count on that. He may not keep them in exactly the way that we want them to be, or we would imagine they'd be kept, but he always will keep his promises. Proverbs 28:25 says this, Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. In other words, you may not want to be fat, but you'll be prospered, you'll be benefited, the Bible is saying here, if you put your trust in the Lord. And again in chapter 29 of Proverbs, verse 25, the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Now turn to the New Testament with me real quickly. Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 and following, and 19 and one other verse in this context. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And this is a statement about the faithfulness of God, because he promised that these things would come about. And I need to get to Philippians. I said Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. My apologies. Philippians 2:19 says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. I'm trusting the Lord to do this. And then again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. And the Word of God teaches us over and over again that God is faithful, and that's related to his truthfulness. You can trust him. When he says something, it's true. And when God declares himself about something, he is able to be trusted because he is a faithful God. And the fact that he's faithful relates to his truthfulness. And at the same time, he will not impose himself uninvited. There is a principle in the scriptures that teaches us that God will never violate a person's will. If a person just says, no, 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 I will not submit to God, I will not believe God, God won't force a person to do that. He's still going to be faithful. He's still going to keep his word, but he will not impose himself uninvited on anyone. If his larger purpose is not at stake, he will allow individuals to do as we please. Is this our freedom? Yes, this is our freedom. Is this for our best or is this for our good? No, it's not for our good, because God always is looking out for our best. He will always direct us in a pleasant path. He'll always lead us in a way that's profitable and blessed. And so a person can exercise his or her freedom and say, no, I'll do things as I please. I'll live my life the way I want to. But that's not the best way, and that's not a profitable, and that's not a blessed way of living. It's not for our best. And you know Romans 8:28, which says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And that's a very familiar verse to Bible students. And basically it says everything, if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that happens in your life is going to work together for good. Now we may decide, because we have freedom in our will, we may decide that we're going to go the long way around. We may decide that we're going to take a bumpy road, and I've been in a situation before where I could have stayed on the pavement, but I got on the gravel road instead. And here a couple of years ago, we had somebody out at the camp who was trying to get back to town, and they didn't understand that they just needed to stay on the blacktop roads, and they were instead following their GPS, and they got mired down on a muddy, low service or low maintenance type road and got stuck. And we can go the long way around, and we can take a detour, and we can find ourselves mired down. if we choose to go that way, but it's God's best plan for us to stay on the tar road, so to speak, and get there quicker and easier. And either way, you know, God's willing to work with us. He's willing to work on us. And all things ultimately will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. But I think sometimes we set ourselves up to go the hard way. We set ourselves up to go a difficult route. And it's not necessary. But it's just because we can tend to be hard-hearted. We can be inclined to be determined in our own course. And it's not necessary. It's not needful that we do that. God's still able to work it for good, and He's still able to turn things around for His honor and glory. And we may go by way of the back 40. You know what I mean by that. But it's not necessary. We can go the smooth, and we can go the relatively unhindered way. Some things, you know what? Some things we can only learn the hard way. Some things we can only learn through the hard school of hard knocks. Some things we won't learn any other way. And I've been focused on committing my life to the Lord and being obedient to Him, we may say, but it still seems like my life is just fraught with hard things. Okay, well, you know, there are probably some things you wouldn't learn any other way. You've got to experience some of that stuff in order to really see God's hand at work in your life and really commit to Him and really learn to trust Him. But God is faithful, and He always will work for our best. And the question is, can you trust Him to always do this and be working in this direction? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you believe that? And if you do, well, then just commit your way to Him and trust Him and strive to be obedient to Him in every way that you know. And He'll accomplish His purpose in your life. Our circumstances often come down to us simply trusting Him no matter what. And so the question is, do we trust Him no matter what? And will we trust Him no matter what? Or will we choose our own way, and will we trust our own devices rather than committing ourselves to the Lord? Rather than saying, God, You just choose my path. You know what's best for me. And I want to follow You. I want to be in the center of Your will. And we don't act beyond or outside of the clear leadership of the Holy Spirit. We just commit our way to the Lord, and that's the best way to live. He will not impose Himself uninvited. He will always be. The third principle is this: He'll always be there no matter what, because He is a faithful God. He is faithful, always. He's always faithful. And what a blessing that He's a faithful God. Look with me in your Bible to Psalm 102. Psalm 102, and we'll see some more scripture here about the faithfulness of God. He will always be there no matter what comes, because He is a faithful God, and His faithfulness is unfailing. Psalm 102, verse 2 says this: Hide not Thy face from me in the day when I'm in trouble. Incline Thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. And doesn't it sometimes feel like when I'm in trouble, when I'm dealing with situations that are hard for me, sometimes it feels like God isn't there? But He says He will be. When I'm in trouble, incline your ear to me and answer me. And God is faithful to do that. Look at Psalm 116. 116, verse 2. Psalm 116, verse 2. The Bible says, Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Here is an attitude of commitment. Because this person knows that God will be faithful to answer the need. Verse 17 says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. What a blessing it is that though others may fail, though other people may fail, and you know what, if you live long enough, you will see a lot of people let you down. You'll see a lot of people fail. And nobody wants to. But humans always will. But God never will fail. He will be faithful no matter what. He will never fail. Back up a little bit to Psalm 80. Psalm 80, verse 18. Psalm 80, verse 18 says this. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. We're going to follow you. We're not going to turn back. In 86:5, the Bible says, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. What a blessing that God will always be there. And Job at times, you remember the story of in the Bible about the character named Job. At times he wondered where God was. He didn't feel that he was nearby. All this trouble came upon Job, and basically he was saying, God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of all this trouble? And his so-called friends who came to, quote, comfort him, ended up chiding him and saying, you must be trying to hide something. You must be covering up some sin, because otherwise these bad things wouldn't be happening to you as they have. Well, Job never did question God foolishly or turn his back on God, but there were times when he wondered where God was. And go back with me to Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. In verse 1, the Bible says, But Job answered and said, Job 6:1, 6:2 says, Oh, that my grief were throughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together, for now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass? Or loweth the ox over his fodder? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. Basically, he was saying, life has become insipid and tasteless, and where is God in all of this situation? Well, later on, the Bible tells us, after God had gotten through to Job and taught him some things that he needed to learn, God blessed him and gave him more than he had before. In fact, he had twice as much as he had originally. Look at the end of the book there in Job 40 and 42. And we read that God restored the blessing to Job's life in his time. Was it as soon as Job wanted to see the answers? No, it wasn't as soon as Job wanted to see the answers. God is not bound by time. And usually, as I said earlier, he waits longer to bring things around than we want him to. But we're not in control. And it's not your job to dictate to God how he does things and how he operates his purposes. It's our job to simply trust him and commit ourselves to him. He knows what's best. In Job chapter 40, verse 1, the Bible says, Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. And it's this kind of an attitude.
I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. I'm in the presence of God. Who am I to speak? Who am I to complain?
And God has his word accomplished. And Job answered the Lord and said, I'm vile. Look a little later on in Job chapter 42, verse 1. The Bible says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And the problem often is that we just don't see. We just don't understand. And so we get all bent out of shape because we don't understand. A good attitude with all of that context is, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm still going to trust you regardless. I don't get it. I can't figure it out. Join the club. But I'm still going to trust you regardless. Notice in chapter 42, verse 10, and the Lord returned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, all his sisters, and you hadn't read about his brothers and sisters, but here they show up at the end, all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he gave the girls real pleasant names, and they were a joy to him. He had 10 children. He'd lost them all, and God gave him 10 more children and twice as much as he had before in possessions. God is a faithful God, and sometimes his purposes we don't understand. But that doesn't change the fact he's still God. He is still faithful. And consider these applications. He will always be faithful in provision. He'll always provide. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. He'll always be faithful to provide. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 3 says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. He'll always be faithful in provision. He'll always be faithful in protection. And back up a little bit to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. You say we've turned a lot in our Bible tonight. Yeah, we always use the Bible a lot. This is Bible Baptist Church, and the Word of God has answers for us. And so we look often to the Scriptures. That's a good thing. Exodus chapter 12, verse 23 says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you know the story in the Bible of the Passover. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He is faithful in protection. Listen to Psalm 121 verse 3. Psalm 121 verse 3 says this, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He will be faithful in protection. He will be faithful in preservation. He'll preserve those whom he has promised to protect. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 12 says this, God is faithful in preservation. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. Even if he doesn't have a whole lot, he will be preserved, and he'll be protected. and God will provide for him. He'll be faithful. God will be faithful in purity. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, God is faithful in purity. He has given us the truths that apply to purity, and he's going to be faithful in those different areas. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Verse 11, "Now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God is faithful in purity. And if you desire to be delivered and you'll work for his glory, he will deliver." God cares for his own. He is faithful. And it's because he's a good God. It relates to his goodness. God's a faithful God. He's a good God. He can be trusted. You can rely upon him. What a great thing. And we have so many more scriptures we could look at. But we should remember to praise God for his goodness. Look quickly at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. The Bible says, "The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." It's God's goodness that even allows us to be saved in the first place. And it's nothing that we deserve, but because God is good. You know, John 3:16, one of the best known verses in all the Bible, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And what's that about? Well, it's about salvation. It's about forgiveness of sinners who don't deserve anything good from God. But he is a good God. And he is great in his mercy. The Bible says many, many, many times in Psalm 136, "His mercy endureth forever." He will always be a merciful God. And he will always be defined by love and defined by mercifulness. And he's faithful in all those areas. In Psalm 107, verse 8, the Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth a hungry soul with goodness." Again in verse 15, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." And then again in verse 21, the Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then in verse 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." God is a good God, and he continually shows himself to be good. He is kind. He is faithful. God is faithful. He's always faithful. And I'm stirred in my spirit when I hear somebody sing that song, "He's been faithful to me." Even at times when I wasn't responding to his goodness, when I wasn't responding to his commands or his grace, he's been faithful to me. God is always a faithful God. And praise the Lord for his faithfulness, which is linked to his truthfulness. He has promised that he will always be this way, and he is trustworthy, and you can rely upon him. And friend, if you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, feel safe. Feel safe in doing that, because he's a faithful God. And God's people, those who do know Jesus Christ as Savior, feel safe in committing your way before the Lord, to the Lord, because he is faithful and he's always reliable. He's always dependable. He'll always keep his word. He's always accomplishing the good of those who will follow him, who love him, who are called according to his purpose. He's a faithful God. God is always faithful. And don't ever question that. Don't ever doubt it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us to see your great faithfulness for what it is. And Father, thank you for being a God upon whom we can always confidently depend and rely. Father, you're one who will always keep your word. You're one who will always provide, who will always be working toward purity and protecting your own. Father, we just thank you so much for being a God who is trustworthy. Father, we praise you tonight for your faithfulness, and I pray that we would honor the Lord with our hearts, with our lips, with our voices, for your great faithfulness. Bless as we close this service and move on to the testimony time tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.